Welcome to episode 373 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen lots of changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same: the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Laura, and Lindsay. You may have noticed the Outlander team has been doing a lot of cruising this year. We are so excited that cruising is back, and we also have to catch up on all the new ships that have suddenly been able to set sail after such a long delay. One such ship is Royal Caribbean's Odyssey of the Sea. She has been sailing now for a few months, but was supposed to hit the high seas in November of 2020. So finally, in November of 2021, only 1 year later, she had her official naming ceremony, and Elizabeth was there to take it all in. We can't wait to hear all about it, so let's get started.
Yay! To clarify, I wrote the intro, but I actually wasn't there for the naming ceremony. I got off the ship just before it, but it was all around the same time.
Oh, so you didn't get to see him smash champagne against
the sea? No, not this time, no. I mean, technically, she's already been sailing for like 6 months, so I'm like, all right, cool. And I had to go to Europe, you know.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. I was like, what a waste of
there's shit. That, huh?
Yeah, there's that.
So we've heard lots about the Oasis class. So this one actually falls into our Quantum class. So really, what's the difference between the two?
So it doesn't sound like it from the names Quantum and Oasis, but Quantum is actually smaller than the Oasis class ships. So the Oasis are still the bigger ones. The other weird thing about this is they've brought out some Quantum class ships and then some Oasis class ships and then some Quantum and then some Oasis. They've sort of been flipping back and forth. So it seems a little confusing. But the main thing that you can tell from the back of these ships is the Oasis class has the Aqua Theater. And it sort of has that double wide column thing where you've got cabins on two sides with space in between. The Quantum class doesn't have that, but it has a lot of the other things that the Oasis class has. So if you want a smaller version, if you're like, ooh, 7,000 passengers, I don't think I want to do that. But you still want a big ship with a lot of stuff and some different stuff, then the Quantum class might be a good choice for you because it's a little bit more in line with the other large cruise ships that aren't the super Oasis class ships.
And so now they came out with the Quantum Ultra. So is this an Ultra?
No, I don't think we haven't seen a Quantum Ultra yet.
Okay,
they're
gotcha.
Coming out okay. with, yes.
They're coming out with the Ultra, so coming that's kind of super fancy.
Yeah.
So what kind of features do they have that you really enjoyed?
So the main thing, I was only on for two nights. So as active as I am, you know, because I'm a very active person, it would be really hard to do everything on this ship in the two nights that you're on board, which is basically one full day. And the ship went to Perfect Day at Cocoa Cay, which has its own reasons to, you know, to celebrate. So I wasn't on the ship even the full time. But there are a few things that are unique to Quantum class ships, and this ship has all of those things. One is the Ripcord by iFly, which is a, quote, indoor skydiving. It's basically an air tunnel. It is indoors, but it isn't indoors. It's on the back deck of the ship, so you're outside, but the tunnel is enclosed, so you can't fly out the top.
Did you actually try that one?
So not this time. I did it. Excuse me. Sorry, George. I did it several years ago when I was lighter. I was right at the top of the weight class for this. And honestly, it was difficult as a heavier person. Well, it was difficult to do anyway. It takes a little bit of coordination. But I really just didn't want to subject myself to, you know, getting into that sexy jumpsuit and having my face blown up over my ears. And dealing with, you know, the shift in weight that's necessary for, because they really have to, the heavier you are, the more they have to blast the air. And I didn't love it the first time I did it. That said, you may love it. I mean, well, Don, I bet you would love it. But, you know,
I want to try it.
Different strokes for different folks, for sure. And for me, I just didn't want to do it again. I did have the opportunity and I declined. And again, I was right at the top of that weight class. So I also didn't want to have to do the walk of shame if, you know, I stood on the scale and it didn't.
So the Odyssey is actually considered a Quantum Plus because I was on the Ovation. That's a Quantum. This is the Quantum Plus.
Plus. Okay. Well, sorry. They didn't stress that to us. That's interesting because I didn't see any
Well, the plus is they have the new laser, like laser tag.
Yes, they do. They do have, yeah, they do have that. And this one also has the SkyPad, which I believe is only also on the Navigator, if I'm not mistaken, which is a smaller ship. And that's the bungee jumping thing with the, it's a trampoline with bungees and VR glasses. And so that is, I don't think that's on any of the other Quantum class ships.
Did you, I had clients on this ship that, did you go up and walk around the, even if you're not going to do the bungee, did you go check out the viewing area from up there? Mm-hmm. Cause even if you're not going to do it, you can walk up there and see.
Yeah, you can, the view is great. And all of the Quantum class ships have these animals, like this, each one has this huge animal on the side, and this one's a cat with a ball of yarn. So I had to go see the cat.
Oh.
It's a huge cat, but yeah. So I love the Quantum class. It's got a couple of other features that are worth mentioning. One is the North Star, and that's sort of the thing that everybody notices about the Quantum class because it literally sticks off the top of the ship. It's a bubble, like about the size of the bubbles that are on like the London Eye, but it's one bubble. And it's got an arm that'll take you way, way up. And I don't actually have the number in front of me, but it's way, way up in the air. It takes you above the deck and then brings you back down again. And it does turn around. So it's it can be a great view. I got to do it after sunset. So I got a great view of the lights of the ship, but I couldn't really see anything else because everything else was dark. But it would be the sort of thing that, you know, if you're going someplace like Alaska, being on a Quantum class ship, that this would be a really nice feature. And it's the sort of thing that can be reserved. So if you wanted to propose or if you wanted to celebrate an anniversary or anything like that, you can reserve it for a fee. Otherwise, it's included, I believe.
You can actually get married, and no, it's not included. You do have to pay for it, and it has to be reserved in advance. Because I was on the Ovation in Alaska this summer, and the North Star was pretty hard to get up into because of the limited capacity due to COVID. But that's a very popular thing to do is the proposals, but you do have to pay for it. So I don't know
for a proposal you have to pay for, but you have to
pay for it to be in it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that also could vary in the Caribbean versus, because I know that the pricing varies based on the time of day. So like if you want to do it at sunset, it's more expensive than, you know, if you want to do it after the sun goes down. So that's really cool and not good for those who are afraid of heights. It is a clear bubble. It's not, the floor is clear-ish. There's a solid part to stand on, but then it's a round thing. So there are places to look down. So it was really cool, but I went up at night. Another thing is the C-Plex. That's unique to the Quantum class, and this is super cool. It's a multi-purpose area. You could play basketball there. There are bumper cars there. Originally, the Quantum class had roller skating, but that seems to have gone away, unfortunately. And it also used to have trapeze classes, which I think are still in some of the Quantum class ships, but not this one. So, but I remember my kids on the Quantum class many years ago did trapeze lessons, which is really cool. So that sort of is a multi-purpose area. It's two stories. It can be used as a nightclub, like as a dance floor. It can be used as almost anything. And on this ship, they've put Playmakers right next to the C-Plex, which is a great location for a sports bar. Super location for it. It's upstairs. It was really hard to figure out how to get up there. I could see it, but it was like, well, how do I get up there? But really great space. And then the other thing that's unique to Quantum class is 270. I wrote it down as 2270, but it's 270. TWO70, and it is a theater / bar / lounge / observation area, and it's got all these windows that can actually turn into screens, and then there are, I think, six robotic screens that they can use in performances. And this is where they sort of get their celebrity on and tend to do more abstract shows with sort of more performance art pieces with acrobats and, you know, different stuff. It's not going to be a Broadway review. It's going to be sort of a different type of entertainment. I remember my youngest still has blips of memories of the one we saw on the Quantum, which, I mean, he was like 5 or 6, and he still like remembers these little weird bits and pieces from it where they would like whisper certain phrases or whatever, and he just was baffled by the whole show, but he remembers it, so there you go.
Did they, what was the show? Did you go see the show?
Yeah, they did a show called Book 7. Let me look up the title. It's called Book 7 Chapters 1 Adventure, I think. Yes, that's the full title of it. The Book 7 Chapters 1 Adventure. And this is one, I mean, if you, I nerd out about shows, as you probably know, and one of the things that I'm passionate about is how a show is put together, and especially when you're putting a lot of different pieces together. So a title like this made me think, okay, like each chapter is going to be like a genre, or maybe each chapter is going to be an author, or I don't know, it'll have some sort of book related theme, right? And it kind of did, but like one of the last chapter was Bollywood. It was excellent, but I have no idea what that has to do with books, really. Like Bollywood, there's not a genre of literature that compares to Bollywood. It was fabulous. It was super entertaining. But I'm like, why is this in this show? It was like, we want to do a Bollywood number. We'll do one. And it didn't matter that it didn't fit in. So
was there any continuity?
So there was a library that, you know, a set that was kind of steampunky, and this sort of guy who opened the big book. But then, no, then not really. there's a violinist who goes through the whole thing who, again, it was so well executed. Everybody was really, really talented, and I enjoyed watching it. But either I'm not smart enough to understand it, or it didn't make any sense. And I'm a pretty smart person. So it really was, again, very well executed. It just seemed like more like, and Royal Caribbean tends to do this, so I may be projecting a little bit. But they want to do a number, so they put it in a show.
So like, really, we want to do this, and if this doesn't fit in here, yeah, we're going to put it. Anywhere. I was just going to say, this but seems to be very continuous from like the ICE shows to all the shows I watched this summer. Love you, Royal, but yeah. Some of that stuff is way, way out there.
Yeah.
But did you see the show where they explain the... where the machines that are dancing with the screens come from? They're building cars and...
the Leonardo show or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
What was it called? That one was kind of, I made my friend go with me to that, and she was just kind of like, it didn't really make sense, but it was just explaining, they only put that stuff in there to show off the features of the
moving screens. And by the way, those screens are really impressive. It's sort of this thing where you can't really criticize it because it's excellent. It's like, we don't know where to put this in the show, but we're going to do it, and we're going to do it really, really well. And you're like, I don't know why you did that, but I'm glad you did. Right?
I saw a completely different show, Pixels, but it was kind of the same thing. It was like, that's really cool that they're doing that, but I don't understand why.
Yeah. And that show is not on this ship. So that is something to know about these Quantum class. They've got unique shows for these ships. Yeah. So even though the theater is similar, has the same robotic arms, they've made lots of shows to really highlight those things. So, and the book was the only one they showed in 270. I did get to see a big band play in 270 in the middle of the afternoon, which was amazing. Again, I love big band, and I would have watched that anyway, but after having not seen live big band for so long, it was so good. But the other shows in 270, they do one call, and they didn't show any of these while I was on board, so it's not even that I missed them. I didn't have the opportunity to see them. They have one called Oceanides or Oceanides, I'm not sure how you say it, which is sort of this, it's a story of a free diver. And so there's all these water effects with these robots, and the screens is so hard to explain them if you haven't seen them, but they all move independently, but they're choreographed together. And so they can use them in really unique ways. And I actually would have liked to have seen this Oceanides, because it looks like maybe it has a storyline. Maybe. I mean, you know, with Royal, you never know. And we can talk about that later with the other show, the mainstay shows. They have one called Leonardo's Dreams, which is one that really shows off the robotic arms. I think that's sort of similar to their Pixels, but it's more about Leonardo da Vinci's inventions.
That was a separate show. Leonardo.
Okay, so they did that one as well.
They did two, but the very first night there was a Meet the Tech kind of show.
Okay.
Explain all these all these things. But yeah, so what else did they have in there? Because they had dance parties in the other ones. They would have they did dance parties.
And again, only two nights, so I didn't really get an opportunity to see how they really exploit it. But it's a great space, and they really use it well. They have a virtual concert series, which honestly, after 2 years of Zoom, I'm not sure I want to see a virtual concert, but it would be kind of cool because they use the individual screens to show like individual band members and stuff. So it would be a unique kind of thing. And to tag onto that, they do a virtual symphony. So they put all the screens so that it looks like you have a full symphony orchestra in 270 with you. And these screens are really high quality. So it does sort of give the illusion that that person is there or those people. So that would be really cool to see. And then the actual windows that you look out of can turn into screens as well. And so they can really use that as well. And they call that Vistarama. And they can project different. So some of the pictures in the brochure I'm looking at are a bunch of stained glass windows with a Royal Caribbean logo in it, or the skyline of a city that actually it looks like an amalgamation of Paris, New York, and London, you know, just across the, so it isn't a real skyline, but, and then a paintings, you know, sort of this art kind of thing. So that's really cool. And then there's the nightclub that they can do in there. And they can even do some games and things in there as well. So, and like I said, the big band played in there. The stages are very flexible. And so they really can do a lot in that space. And it's the kind of place where it's fun to just go hang out and see what happens, you know, because if you don't look at your program, you just never know, something may spring up. And
are there any acrobatic shows on that ship? Because one of the cool, I hung out a lot in the 270 lounge on my week-long cruise, and I was in there all day working because there was lots of places to plug in and
the tables are a decent height,
plus there's the cafe there, and it was so great to grab breakfast. And it's like the hidden secret. Nobody knows. Go in there for breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. And there's no line. There's, you know, but the acrobats were in there doing there. That's where they did their warm up and their practice. So it's really cool to get to see that during the day. Is that is that how they're utilizing that space?
There are acrobats in the book. And so, yeah, they did. And like I said, if you're sitting in there, you might stumble upon a practice or musicians do come in. Like I had a flutist come in while I was working, totally unexpected, really good as well. And it was sort of a sound check, but, you know, he played a couple of songs, so it was pretty cool. That space it's a really nice space. And again, it's unique to the Quantum class. There's no other ship that really has it. And if I had to compare it to anything, I mean, it's not as big as the observation lounge on the new Norwegian ships, but you can't even compare it to that, because even though it has that beautiful view that those have, it then turns into, it's such a versatile space. Yeah. And again, the shows are a little bit more artsy. But I did, even the book, it was still accessible. It just didn't necessarily make any sense. And by accessible, I mean, you know, it could be enjoyed by any age. It was, you know, it was, it had great fun elements and like I said, really well executed. It just didn't make any sense.
Was there a Broadway like show on this?
So yeah, kind of. They had two shows in the main theater, and I saw both of them. The first one that I saw was Showgirl, Past, Present, Future. That's sort of a weird title to begin with, because I'm pretty sure we're not going to have showgirls in the future. That's sort of a sexist trope. Okay, Royal Caribbean, show me your idea of what showgirls will be in the future. And apparently they perform to the music of The Greatest Show and wear black and silver costumes. They're very tough. It was, again, well executed, but I'm not sure future showgirls are a thing. The other thing that show did was the thing that Royal Caribbean does, where they say, we need a costume change, or we have these vocalists who are really good and they could sing this song, so we're going to put it in there. And they did a version of I Lived, which is a great song, but it had nothing to do with anything. So I could tell and again, very well executed. I enjoyed the heck out of it, but it didn't make sense in the show. I think overall, the audience also didn't know what to do with showgirls. They did the classic, you know, for the past, they did sort of the Busby Berkeley parade of showgirls, which normally has a lot of applause because they're wearing these elaborate costumes, and nobody really knew what to do. Like, I felt like I was the only, I started applauding, and then I thought, oh, nobody else.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. But again, some good stuff in there. And I do think that they tried to put a little bit of a feminist empowerment spin on it. The can-can number, I mean, was excellent. Can-can is so hard, and everybody was can-canning, and it was really, really, really good. So again, great show. Just had little pieces that made me go. The little theater nerd in me was like, why are we doing this? This doesn't make any sense. The other main show was called The Effectors, and this is one where I got the material for it before I went to go see it, and I was like, this is going to be terrible. It's superheroes. They have four superheroes. They've made their own superhero universe. There's Pixel, the power of video, Reverb, the power of sound, Lume, the power of light, and Captain Viz, the power of special effects. This was excellent. This was really excellent. It stayed on target. It had a clear storyline. There was a villain. They were after this crystal. And then each superhero used his or her powers in a really cool way with lots of special effects. So Lume, they used these lasers, and it looked like she was shooting lasers out of her hands, and she was manipulating all this light. And Pixel could reproduce herself, and all the dancers were, you know, dressed the same way, so it looked like it was her over and over and over again. It was really, really good. And it used modern music, and the dancing was fantastic. It started with Holding Out for a Hero. You know, good stuff. Some of it a little bit cheesy, but in a good way. And we all left the theater going, that was just really, really good. And a lot of money on that stage and in the special effects they used. So this really cool motorcycle scene where he's zipping through the city, where they're using the video screens behind him to make it look really real. So very, very cool. I have no complaints about that one. And of course, you know, they used wires and video screens, and it was all just really, really well done.
So where did you eat? Because you only had two nights. How did you, like, I would have had four meals.
Yeah, and all the specialty restaurants, this is a travel trade event, so all the specialty restaurants were invitation only, and I didn't get an invitation. I did get to eat in, what is it called? The Solarium Bistro last night. That was as close to specialty as I got. And that's sort of this weird buffet. What's the word I'm looking for? Fusion. It's Mediterranean food, and it's a buffet with individual portions on the buffet. You do get waited on a little bit, but most of it is just grab and take to your table. So very casual. The food was really good. I ate in the main dining room the other night. The food is, you know, Royal Caribbean food. I've had Royal Caribbean food a lot. There's nothing bad about it. There's nothing spectacular about it. I wish I could have tried some of the specialty restaurants. They do have Giovanni's, which I know is your preference. Lindsay, they have Wonderland, which they were giving out samples, so I got to eat the deviled eggs at Wonderland. They're so good. And the shrimp that are wrapped in all that breading. And then Chop's Grill, and to hit all the main restaurants, I think so. And they have a chef's table. Yeah. And then they have their normal bars too. So there's a Schooner Bar, which is, of course, my favorite place to hang out because it's a piano bar. And I really liked the space on this ship. It was a good place to work too. They had some good sized tables to work at. And then Bolero's, and they have the Bionic Bar, and it's very central. You walk through it a few times. So only one arm was operating, so I didn't get to see them dancing with each other, which is my favorite. So a lot of the classics. They have Zumi, and they have the Hibachi restaurant as well. The teppanyaki restaurant, rather. Good stuff. The buffet was open, and they're doing the serve you buffet. So that was nice. I ate there for breakfast a couple of times.
It really does makes Windjammer so much better.
Yes, it really does. It fixes the crowd control issues. I mean, yeah. Well, and I mean, some of the crowd control issues are fixed by the fact that not as many people are on board, but and the Washi Washi folks were there. I mean, I felt like it was very safe. This, you know, cruising to me has never been better. Fewer people, much more hygiene conscious. It's just a really good time to cruise. So, so yeah, the restaurants were all very good. Lots of choices, just like you would expect. And that's again where I like, oh, and the pizza place. So my tradition when I get on Royal Caribbean is I go to Sorrento's and get a couple slices of pizza. And then I go over to the pub and get a beer. And, that's my lunch when I board, and easily could do that on this ship too. I think it's really nice that you can get a lot of the Oasis class amenities from such a big ship and then, you know, be on a smaller ship. So
I had a question for you about like the layout, because I think it's the sister ship to the Ovation. Mm-hmm. But you said that the robotic arm was in a place where you walk through, because I felt like for our sailing, it was upstairs, and it was kind of like we only saw it a couple times, and every time we saw it, we're like, oh, we're gonna have to come back here and drink, and we never. I mean, I've done it before, so the novelty was kind of off of it, but it was a little tucked away. So this is on the main floor, then?
It's not on the promenade, which it is on some of the Oasis class ships, but it's near the restaurant. So you either walk through it or you go past the Italian restaurant. So okay. It's in that sort of, I don't want to say solarium, but it's that sort of open atrium area where there's things on like three floors. Yeah. And it's on one of those floors, and it's like one side of I don't remember if I was walking forward or backwards at the time, but it's the port side of the ship, I think. And it's like one of the like little sections that you have to walk through to get to the other side of the ship. So, yeah.
But does it have like Central Park and stuff like that?
No. Yeah, that's so all that stuff that's sort of in the middle of an Oasis class ship, Central Park, Boardwalk, all that stuff is gone. There's no aqua theater. That's the thing that I think I miss the most, because I love the aqua theater on Oasis class ships. But there's no Central Park or anything like that. Instead, what you get are spaces like Lindsay was saying, up at the top where you can see out really well, and a lot of walking spaces, but they're more on the outside of the ship, you know, the rather than the inside. You have to go up and onto deck, and then you can walk around the whole ship up there.
So because I'm the weirdo in the group, you know, two of my favorite restaurants are Park Cafe. They don't have that anywhere or anything like that, with the roast beef sandwiches and the good salads and stuff.
Yeah, they might have had a good roast beef sandwich somewhere. I did not find it. So they do not.
This was like the beef on weck thing.
Yeah.
I just took the roast beef out. And then there is, what's the one that has the milkshakes and the burgers and the
Johnny Rockets?
Yeah, that's not on there either.
No, they have the Dogplex, which is the saddest thing, because I think this would be the perfect class ship for me. Like, I love the Quantum class, but I miss Johnny Rockets.
Yeah. Holy. Yeah, no Johnny Rockets.
I have a little petition going.
Yeah. And I do think it's an interesting choice not to have it, because it's such a well-loved, you know, it's like everyone wants to go eat there. It's
very iconic. And
yeah. But then it does have the lime and the coconut, like some of the bars that they've added to these ships. It's consistent. And then like Playmakers, which was sort of a latecomer to the Royal Caribbean. They were finally like, oh, we might want to have a sports bar. And it's very popular and has some great space in it. I mean, one little known fact, there's like an area, it's called the owner's box in the sports bar, that you can rent out for a small group. That's like a little, almost a living room, with, you know, fancy chairs.
Oh, like box seats or something.
Yeah. It's sort of kind of like box seats. I think that's probably the best way to think of it. It doesn't exactly look like that, but yeah. With bar service and everything. And it's not completely separated. Like, you can't close the doors to it. But, you know, I had a little business meeting in there. And, you know, people will poke their head in and realize that you're having a private moment. But you can literally rent it out as well and reserve it for your party. So great place to have like a birthday party or something, especially for a sports fan, because you have your own big screen. They could put whichever game you want on that screen. So
did you try any new drinks?
Yeah, I always try some. Do I remember what they are? Because almost everything is a version of something that I usually have, like their version of an old fashioned. A lot of experimental drinks have rum in them, so I can't have those. So I'd rely on other people to have them. The lime and the coconut has a drink that comes in a souvenir bucket. And they have like, I think, four or six different buckets, and everybody was trying to collect all the different buckets. But it's a rum drink, so I, you know, I couldn't have that.
It was the Gombe Smash, it sounds like, or something.
Yeah,
like
it might. It might be
lime in the coconut.
Are you allergic to rum or something?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't. I don't know if it's allergic, but it makes me sick. I think it's the sugar content of it, because it's the same sort of thing that happens if I drink a really sugary drink or pre-mixed. Yeah, I'm a bit of a Karen when it comes to pre-mixed cocktails. I don't respond well to them. Yeah. So you need to make that drink in front of me. And if I doubt your ability to do that, then I have a gin and tonic. So, you know, something simple. So yeah, I can't do the really fun fruity drinks. Even tiki bars. I love tiki bars from an atmosphere perspective, but it's really hard for me to find a drink because they all have rum in them, understandably. So yeah.
But everything, well, if it's a real tiki bar, everything is handcrafted.
Fresh made, yeah. But then the rum still has a high sugar content. Actually, I did risk it once at a tiki bar, but I got a drink that had like flaming sugar cubes in it. It was very stupid. And I think that's when I realized that it was probably the sugar in it that was killing me. So, but
I need some time to give you like a list, because there's a list of some things you can get that don't have rum in them.
Yes, and usually when I go in, I'll ask, and they'll come up with one or two things, but they always make fun of me too. I'm like, look, I'm sorry, I have a delicate constitution. I really do think that this ship is a great choice for families, because it has that really wide variety without it being like a. And I love Oasis Class as well. This to me is sort of that compromise, and it has some different features like that 270. You know, if you are going to work on your vacation, having that 270 is great. I mean, it's just such a great space.
Even if you don't want to work, to read. I saw so many people just in there enjoying that space and enjoying the view, and it really is the hit of the.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of seating. There's couches, there's table, like little cafe tables, there's like actual restaurant tables. And then I went on this trip with a very good friend of mine, and I texted her. I was like, where are you right now? And she's like, oh, I'm in 270, come on down. And I found her in this like swinging, almost a day bed, you know. I was like, oh wow, I didn't know they had this. It was back at the corner, she was reading her book. She was like, you know, I would find the swing. There's a swing, I'm gonna find it. So
like a hammock bed or something.
Yeah, huh? Like a swinging day bed, you know. And I mean, full size. And you could sit in that to watch a show. Like, that's the thing, is it change, this is, the space changes, but the seating is all still there. So like all kinds of, you know, tables for two all the way up to like little group seating for maybe 8 to 10. So really, it's just so versatile. And so for a large family, like a multi-generational family traveling together, you've got these places where you can come together and meet. And then lots of a wide range of activities, you know, some active stuff. You've got bumper cars. Who doesn't love bumper cars? You know, that's nothing says family bonding like hitting each other with bumper cars, right? So
like violence in the car.
Yeah. And then that turns into a sport. There was pickleball going on one day when I walked through there. They'd set up a pickleball.
In the bumper cars?
In the bumper car space, yeah. No, the bumper cars were not going at the time. They were parked.
Like, wow.
That would be really edgy for
Dodge bumper pickleball.
There you go.
Just created a new game. And that space is so cool. And it's really unlike anything on most cruise ships. You know, you don't think of it as being, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a sports complex where you can do lots of things, and you're like, okay, cool. But when you get up there and see it, it's really a neat space. And it has a little bit of that roller rink feel to it, with like the carpet surrounding the wood floor, and just, yeah, I just really like that space. So I honestly wish that I had another 5 days on this ship. You know, I do not recommend a short cruise on the Quantum class, or the Oasis class for that matter. It's just too big. With too much to do and too much to experience to miss out on. I feel like there was just so much that I didn't get to do. And I did get off the ship at Coco Key, because I love Coco Key. It was only for half a day. I also had to prove that I could go to Coco Key and not smash my fingers. It was really nice to be able to get off the ship and do that. But it cut half the day out of my, you know, day on board. So, you know.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Elizabeth, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.